some thinkers, Aristotle wrote in Nicomachean Ethics, hold that it is by nature that people become good, others that it is by habit, and others that it is by instruction. For Aristotle, habits reigned supreme. The behaviors that occur unthinkingly are the evidence of our truest selves, he said. So just as a piece of land has to be prepared beforehand if it is to nourish the seed, so the mind of the pupil has to be prepared in its habits if it is to enjoy and dislike the right things. Habits are not as simply appear. As I've tried to illustrate throughout this book, habits, even once they are rooted in our minds, aren't destiny. We can choose our habits once we know how. Everything we know about habit, from neurologists studying organizational experts remaking companies, is that any of them can be changed if you understand how they function. Hundreds of habits influence our days. They guide how we get dressed in the morning, talk to our kids, and fall asleep at night. They impact what we eat for lunch, how we do business, and whether we exercise or have a beer after work. Each of them has a different cue and offers a unique reward. Some are simple, and others are complex, drawing upon emotional triggers and offering subtle neurochemical prizes. But every habit, no matter its complexity, is malleable. The most addicted alcoholics can become sober. The most dysfunctional companies can transform themselves. A high school dropout can become a successful manager. However, to modify a habit, you must decide to change it. You must consciously accept the hard work of identifying the cues and rewards that drive the habit's routines and find alternatives. You must know you have control and be self-conscious enough to use it. And every chapter in this book is devoted to illustrating a different aspect of why that control is real. So though both Angie Bachman and Brian Thomas made variations on the same claim, that they acted out of habit, that they had no control over their actions because those behaviors unfolded automatically, it seems fair that they should be treated differently. It is just that Angie Bachman should be held accountable and that Brian Thomas should go free, because Thomas never knew the patterns that drove him to kill existed in the first place, much less that he could master them. Bachman, on the other hand, was aware of her habits. And once you know a habit exists, you have the responsibility to change it. If she had tried a bit harder, perhaps, she could have reined them in. Others have done so, even in the face of greater temptations. That, in some ways, is the point of this book. Perhaps a sleepwalking murderer can plausibly argue he wasn't aware of his habit, and so he doesn't bear responsibility for his crime. But almost all the other patterns that exist in most people's lives, how we eat and sleep and talk to our kids, how we unthinkingly spend our time, attention, and money, those are habits that we know exist. And once you understand that habits can change, you have the freedom and the responsibility to remake them. Once you understand that habits can be rebuilt, the power of habit becomes easier to grasp, and the only option left is to get to work.